Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, January 27th, 2023. Front page. Guest editorial. Midland needs to begin investing in itself, by Travis Stice, Diamondback Energy. I was extremely disappointed the Hogan Park initiative was voted down by the Midland City Council earlier this week. As a reminder, this was a proposed $55 million project, of which $28.5 million was already covered through private investment and a $10 million commitment by the City of Midland, more than $5.8 million of which has already been spent on upgrades. The project was meant to transform Hogan Park, adding playgrounds, covered basketball courts, batting cages, a great lawn, a multi-purpose pavilion, multi-purpose fields, dog parks, and more. It was meant to bring our facilities up to the standard expected of a local economy that has grown tremendously over the past 15 years. It was meant to reflect our citizens' desire for a quality green space for their families. Our economy has also gotten younger, with the average age in Midland now at 32 years old, with the largest age demographic represented by 0 to 4-year-olds. The Hogan Park no vote is a slap in the face of corporate and private philanthropy, and the latest setback in a string of opportunities wasted for this city to grow and develop into a city commiserate with the economic value it adds to both the Texas and national economies. Countless opportunities to improve the quality of life of Midland citizens have been met with unwarranted opposition, based upon excuses like the next bust is right around the corner and taxes will go up. These excuses completely ignore the needs of the next generations that will live here and develop the Permian Basin for the coming decades. Midland is no longer a career stop. We are a career destination. My patience is tested by the number of employees who have told me working for Diamondback was the best job they ever had, but they are moving because another destination offers them more than what they are receiving from Midland. The narrative I deal with from my employees is becoming increasingly difficult to overcome. Underperforming schools with dilapidated structures. Teacher shortages and high turnover, including at the local superintendent position. A medical system where half of our citizens go elsewhere for advanced medical care, along with a chronic shortage of doctors, nurses, and direct care workers. Underfunded and understaffed police officers and first responders. There's nothing to do on the weekends with our families commentary. As a leader and a native Midlander, this hurts me deeply because I believe we are and can be better. When Diamondback Energy started, we had only 5 employees located in Midland. Today, in just over 10 years, we have grown to more than 1,000 employees, of which about 800 live and work in the Midland-Odessa area. We have grown in value from $500 million to more than $30 billion today, with an annual budget that reinvests billions of dollars, and we plan to continue to grow our business into the future. Our people based in Midland have been instrumental in this success and growth. Diamondback will remain Midland headquartered. But my dilemma remains, how is Diamondback supposed to continue growing in a city that struggles to develop or grow with it? How are we expected to retain and attract the young talent needed to grow our company and develop the Permian Basin in the decades to come? So I ask our elected leadership, what is the vision of the future of our city? We can either grow, reflecting the desires of our citizens, or we will simply fade away as a relevant city. The urgency for action is now. City leadership, you have a bigger decision than just the Hogan Park redesign. Your decision is whether you have the boldness, courage, foresight, and inspiration to propel this city towards what is possible. We are not the same city we were 10, 20, or 40 years ago. Midland is my hometown. Our family has lived here for almost 100 years, and I will be buried here. This is the most welcoming, selfless, and generous community I have ever experienced, and that is truly unique in today's world. The grit, determination, and can-do attitude of our citizens has built many successful businesses like Diamondback. Midland is the right place for Diamondback to be headquartered, in the heart of the Permian Basin and in a community that puts others first. We feel a responsibility to make Midland better, and we remain committed to this city's future. We look forward to engaging in strategic conversations about changing the future for a better Midland. Travis D. Stice is the chairman and CEO of Diamondback Energy Incorporated. Midland ISD looks for new early college high school principal by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard stated this week that the district is looking for the next principal of early college high school at Midland College for the coming year. The person will replace Renee Aldrin. Early college high school at Midland College is one of the top performing campuses inside Midland ISD. In November, it was announced that ECHS was picked as a national blue ribbon school, specifically as an exemplary high performing schools among the state's highest performing schools as measured by state assessments or nationally normed tests. ECHS at MC is the first Midland ISD campus to receive this honor. Early college high school allows students to go through a rigorous academic program that leads to a high school diploma and associate's degree, 2-year degree. This is a great opportunity to lead a blue ribbon school, Howard tweeted. Midland ISD now announced this week that Aldrin has announced her retirement. She intends to stay in her position until the end of the school year, according to the district. We cannot thank Renee enough for all she has done for the students. MISD has posted a job opening for the next academic leader at ECHS. This position and others can be viewed at midlandisd.net/careers. Gatlin Songwriting Masterclass to Emphasize Being Creative by Ben Schaefer. Larry Gatlin's spring semester course at University of Texas Permian Basin, Music 3389, of Borders, Rivers, and Time, Journey into Creativity, is a creative writing, storytelling, and songwriting class at its surface. But the native Odessan and Texas Country Music Hall of Fame inductee believes it can be much more than that. The eldest member of the Grammy Award-winning Gatlin Brothers Trio has had an illustrious career that has taken him all over the world and fostered relationships with music's most esteemed figures. Gatlin said he wants to share his love for the English language, songwriting, and storytelling for those students who may want to pursue music seriously. But his real hope is to tap into students' passion and help them achieve it, whatever it may be. Like I told them, his students, if you want to be a makeup artist, bring your kit and I'll sit there and let you do it, Gatlin said. Gatlin described the course as a songwriting masterclass, but admitted anyone with a creative future ahead of them could benefit from attending. He stated that the opportunity to teach came unexpectedly. He was on a phone call with high school friend Lissa Noel Wagner to discuss opportunities for performances at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, which the Gatlin brothers have played many times. She said, well, that's really handled through UTPB. And I said, well, I'd like to visit with those folks, Gatlin recalled. The country music legend met with UTPB president Sandra Woodley to share his vision of using actors from the university's choral department to perform one of the musicals he has written. One thing led to another, and I told Dr. Woodley, I've done master classes in songwriting from UCLA to LIPA, Liverpool Institute of Performing Arts, Gatlin remarked. Gatlin called Woodley an incredible human being who's brilliant and possesses great people skills as well as intellectual curiosity. Woodley invited Gatlin to teach the course. The first class of the course took place Monday evening. Gatlin said the 15 to 20 students are to present their passions and wants out of life for their first homework assignment due January 30th. Gatlin said, reading is one of the great tools in life, and that not only is he interested in music, but also literature, which he wants to share with the students. I've distilled that out into some things I want these young people to know, some things I want them to read. Writers like William Shakespeare, George Eliot, Mary Ann Evans, William Faulkner, and Ernest Hemingway are just some of his favorites. Gatlin wants to use his experience to tweak students' creative approach and assist them into fulfilling their potential. I said, in my class, if you want to be a songwriter, if you've ever written a song, you are a songwriter. You're probably not a song craftsman, he said. Gatlin claimed he appreciates that there's an art and craft to everything people do in life, which he tries to convey to his UTPB students. Inside Pages. Five Questions with Comedy Style Star Fortune Feimster by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Quite frankly, I never expected a comedian like Fortune Feimster to grace the tall city with her presence. Not because I don't think Midland deserves to have class acts perform for the community, but because I didn't expect anyone else out here, besides me, to be a big enough fan that her touring team considered the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center a prime destination for the third stop on her second live tour, Live, Laugh, Love. Not only a comedian, Feimster earned a role of actress through her time on early 2000s late-night talk show Chelsea Lately, NBC's Last Comic Standing, as Colette on The Mindy Project, Heather on The L Word Generation Q, and other various appearances. As for her title as a writer, Feimster created and starred in ABC's Family Fortune pilot, produced by Tina Fey, and currently has two features, Bad Cop, Bad Cop, and Field Trip, which have been acquired by Amblin, Steven Spielberg's production company. I could go on and on about all the professional reasons you should see the North Carolina native perform Sunday, yet none of them really matter. At the end of the day, Feimster prides herself on being a comedian for the people. All people, race, sexuality, nor background matter to be confessional bellyacher, ultimately setting her apart from other performers through relatable and entertaining content created through life experiences as a queer woman growing up in the 80s and having a full-on Southern mama. Tickets for the show can be bought at www.wagnernoel.com/events. To learn more about Fortune, visit www.fortunefeimster.com. Sunday, doors at 6 p.m., show at 7 p.m., 1310 North Farm to Market Road, 1788. Question. You were an entertainment reporter for a few years before switching to comedy full-time. What was it like trying to balance the hectic deadline lifestyle of a journalist and the late nights? Answer. I certainly never thought in a million years I would be a journalist. I moved up to L.A., and it was one of those opportunities that just fell in my lap. I was working some odd jobs, and somebody was like, "Hey, I heard you could write. Do you want to cover these movie premieres? I was in my 20s. "Yeah, I want to go to a movie premiere." Entertainment journalism allowed me to sort of be adjacent to what I wanted to do. So even though I wasn't working as an actor, I got to interview actors and find out about their journey and how they got there. I went on sets, interviewed writers. I was a sponge trying to take all these different parts of the business in. Question. Being from the South, you know how some people look at the queer community. Midland's part of a very conservative part of the state. How do you think your queer-oriented comedy will land with the audience? Answer. I myself grew up in a very conservative area, so it's not a foreign concept to me. I have found through my travels across the country that people from all walks of life come to the shows because I'm telling stories that are true to me, not just one type of story, not just one part of who I am. Stories that are relatable to everybody. So, you know, if there's somebody that comes who has a different viewpoint than me or is on the fence about the gay community, maybe one of my stories can help see them things from a different perspective. I look at it as an opportunity to teach people and open their eyes. Question. Do you have any pre-show rituals or superstitions? Answer. I'm very low-key. I don't get worked up. I maybe go eat or walk around downtown to be outside and get some fresh air, but I don't get a bowl of nerves. I'm just pumped for the show. Question. If you were stranded in the West Texas desert, what three things would you want with you? Answer. Oh my gosh. Well, probably my wife, Jax, because she's fun and keeps me company. Some sort of snack, because I can't go long without eating. And I want to say an old-fashioned, but that's probably not smart. Probably needs to be water. Question. Old-fashioned would work out here. Don't worry. Why should Midlanders come out to the show? Answer. It's going to be the most fun they've had all year. I know we're just in January, but it's going to be great. I try to make people have fun. Keep it light and silly, and it's a good way to spend your evening. Seymour Fogel, Synthesis Depicts First Abstract Art in Texas, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Pre-1946, Seymour Fogel produced figural realism murals, taking inspiration from events and issues such as war, famine, and the Dust Bowl. Training in New York under renowned Mexican and international muralist Diego Rivera, Fogel mastered his skills and created one of the most socially engaging pieces of historical art known to date. However, when the Big Apple native moved to Texas, his techniques changed. Here, he explored life in abstract formation. As a professor of the University of Texas from 1946 to 1959, Fogel composed the first five abstract murals in the Lone Star State, the Baptist Student Center at UT, 1949, Houston's Petroleum Club, 1950, American National Bank, 1954, his most rewarded and recognized, Waco's First National Bank, 1955, and Houston's First Christian Church, 1956. With his class on the integration of art and architecture, he also earned the university its first Rome Prize, an award given by the American Academy in Rome, focused on innovative humanities in a dynamic international community. This exhibit gives you a showcase of his styles throughout the years, Matthew Ward, Senior Director of Curational Affairs, said. In this first gallery, we see these great abstract paintings. Fogel practiced an artistic philosophy called atavistic art, which means art that is inspired by or referencing the ancient. Like many modernists in the mid-20th century, Fogel was dealing with the idea that all of us, past, present, and future, are connected in one universal mind. Here, guests will see sand paintings, large totemic three-dimensional wall structures, mural studies, smaller mural paintings used for practice, and pictorial language Fogel invented through a series of symbolic letters. In the back, that's where we see some of his early work, his social realism that dealt ideas of freedom and democracy, Ward explained. Like many artists in the early 20th century, he found support in the Works Progress Administration and did these projects for the government. A darker view into what art can show, museum guests will find sketches of slaves and chains with the words slave world, free world, written above. A hand-drawn bomb and presents for Hitler on the back of a large mailing envelope. And even depictions of Mary and Jesus through a mother and child surviving the Dust Bowl. The latest installment in the Museum of the Southwest's Texas Modernism Residency, Seymour Fogel Synthesis, provides insight into life as a 20th century American and how artists and creators of that time remained on the forefront as watchdogs for constitutional ideas. A members-only opening reception will be held January 31st. To become a member or learn more about Seymour Fogel, visit www.museumssw.org. Operating hours run from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Tuesday through Saturday, 1705 West Missouri Avenue. Gun Search Moves from Wadley Barron to Northwest Midland by Stuart Doreen. The city of Midland reopened C.J. Kelly Park on Thursday afternoon after the Midland Police Department moved the search for evidence from a December double homicide to the park. The search by Midland Police Department, DPS, and Texas Rangers was related to evidence in reference to a double homicide that took place on December 17th. The city also reported that Wadley Barron in central Midland is open. Wadley Barron had been closed for more than a week. MPD reported they found a gun in the pond, but it was not related to the double homicide. The investigation is ongoing. Teen arrested in connection with November murder, MCSO, by Mercedes Cordero. A 16-year-old was arrested Thursday in connection with the murder that occurred in Midland on November 30th, according to a press release from the Midland County Sheriff's Office. The U.S. Marshals Service Lone Star Fugitive Task Force arrested the teen at about 6:45 p.m. in South Midland. The task force consists of MCSO, the Midland Police Department, the Midland Fire Department, Fire Marshal's Office, the Department of Public Safety's CID, and the Ector County Sheriff's Office. No further details are available at this time. Midland Reporter-Telegram obituaries published Friday, January 27th. Christopher Sean Moles, May 2nd, 1962 to January 22nd, 2023. Christopher Sean Moles passed away suddenly and unexpectedly on Sunday, January 22nd in San Antonio, Texas. Sean was born May 2nd, 1962 in Odessa, Texas. Sean was preceded in death by his father, Jimmy Moles, and brother, Joe Moles. Sean is survived by his wife, Tammy, his two sons, Tyler and Aslan, Tammy's children, Brady and Channing, and husband, Craig, and granddaughter, Perry, mother, Fanny Deline, brother, Mike, and wife, Becky, and children, Christy and husband, Sean, Megan and husband, Terrence, and Mike's grandchildren, Michael and Brianna, and great-grandchildren, Jackson and Texas, brother Scott and wife Kelly, husband Kelly, and his son Andrew, and husband Jordan, and Kelly's daughter Taylor, and brother Patrick and wife Mimi, and children Jimmy Joe, Curtis, and Micah. Sean is also survived by his two favorite dogs in the world, Shooter and Chubbs. Sean was extraordinarily generous in all facets of his life. Please consider following his example by making a donation in Sean's memory to Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Permian Basin, www.bbbspermianbasin.org. Folds of Honor Foundation, www.foldsofhonor.org. Cibolo Creek Community Church in Fair Oaks, or Christ Church Anglican of Midland. Celebration of Life Saturday, January 28th at 11 a.m. at the Green Tree Country Club in Midland, Texas. You are invited to sign the guest book, www.porterloring.com. Arrangements with Porter Loring Mortuary 1101 McCulloch Avenue, San Antonio, Texas, 78212. Mary Beth Nan Ingram. Mary Beth Nan Ingram, 88, went to heaven on January 20th, 2023. She was born July 11th, 1934 in Westbrook, Texas, to John Wesley Schaefer and Mary Thelma Schaefer. Beth married her handsome cowboy, Clay Ingram, in Colorado City on June 27, 1952. They spent 57 years together, raising cotton, cattle, kids, and grandkids. Beth was preceded in death by her husband, Clay, a son, Guy Blaine Ingram, a grandson, Colin Chase Ferkeren, and her parents, John Wesley and Mary Thelma Schaefer. She is survived by her two children, Cherry Ferkeren and husband Phil of Midland, and Craig Ingram and wife Lisa of Midland. Her grandsons, Cole Ferkeren and wife Vanya of Midland, Case Ingram and wife Alexandra of Midland, and Connor Ferkeren and wife Katie of Austin. Her sister, Dwayne Pearson and husband Mike of Stanton, and her brother Travis Schaefer and wife Jeanette of Tuttle, Oklahoma, and several nieces and nephews. The family will receive guests from 6 to 8 p.m. Friday, January 27th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral services are scheduled for 10 a.m. Saturday, January 28th at Kelview Heights Baptist Church. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Kelview Heights Baptist Church Mission Fund. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at npwelch.com. Patrick Kevin Harrington. Patrick Kevin Harrington passed away January 16, 2023, at his home in New Braunfels, Texas, where he lived with his sister, Tina Miller. Born July 1, 1958, in Roswell, New Mexico, Kevin was adopted at birth by Lois and Clayton Harrington. Kevin lived in Roswell, then Wichita Falls, Texas, and finally Midland, Texas, which he called home until 2019 when he moved to New Braunfels. Kevin was preceded in death by his father, a nephew, Sean Skies, and his sister-in-law, Lara Rasmussen Harrington. He's survived by his mother, Lois Harrington of St. Mary's, Kansas, brothers Clay of Lampasas, Texas, and Michael and wife Kirsten of Winter Garden, Florida, and sisters Megan and husband James Skies of St. Mary's, Kansas, and Tina and husband Roger Miller of New Braunfels, Texas, plus numerous nieces and nephews and their children, all of whom knew him as their beloved Uncle Kev. Funeral arrangements will be handled by Ellis Funeral Home in Midland. Funeral and rosary will be Friday night at the funeral home. Funeral mass will be at St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland, with burial at Rest Haven Memorial Cemetery on Saturday, January 28th. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests a donation in Kevin's name to the Rock House Foundation, Rockhouse, H-A-U-S, foundation.org, 511 East North Street, Suite B, New Braunfels, Texas, 78130, or another charity of your choice.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, January 27th, 2023. ExxonMobil calls on industry not to pollute. If we can do it, you can too. That's ExxonMobil's stance toward other oil companies and the industry-wide emissions control campaign to stop greenhouse gas from polluting the environment. Quote, we were the first to file an alternative means of emission limitation plan with the Environmental Protection Administration, and we have been at the forefront in pushing for enhanced regulations that level the playing field, end quote, said ExxonMobil spokeswoman Megan McDonald Wednesday from Irving, west of Dallas. Quote, the cost-effective, scalable solutions we've developed to reduce and better detect emissions would be possible for other industry players, even smaller operators and producers, to replicate. quote, take our continuous methane monitoring program. We've invested $1 million in research and pilot projects, and through our investments and trial and error, we've gotten costs down to less than $30,000 per site, end quote. McDonald said her company has more than doubled its production in the Permian Basin since 2019, while reducing methane emissions from its operated assets. Quote, we have one of the industry's most aggressive plans in the basin to achieve near zero methane emissions from our operated assets by 2030, end quote, she said. Quote, ExxonMobil is installing new state-of-the-art technologies across its 1.8 million-acre Permian Basin operations in New Mexico and Texas to assist the company with its detection of and response to methane leaks. As a responsible operator, we continue to share best practices for continuous methane monitoring with other operators and researchers. Additionally, we have long advocated for federal regulations as the most effective way to reduce methane emissions at scale, end quote. McDonald said her company eliminated all high-bleed pneumatic devices from its U.S. unconventional operations where fracking was used in 2020. Quote, in the Permian, we plan to complete our pneumatic replacement program by year-end 2023, end quote, she said. Quote, ExxonMobil has made significant strides in reducing flaring in the Permian Basin, bringing down flaring volumes in 2021 by more than 75% compared to 2019. Quote, a Rystad Energy report released in April 2022 recognized us as a top Permian performer in January 2022. We reached a significant milestone at year-end 2022 when we eliminated routine flaring in the Permian, consistent with our support of the World Bank Zero Routine Flaring Initiative, end quote. Future Docs, Career Fair gives students taste of medical fields. In an effort to grow their own medical professionals, Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center hosted about 35 students from Ector County ISD high schools to give them a glimpse of various medical fields. The event was held at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center's new academic building, and it also gave students a chance to try out different procedures with sim mannequins or virtually. ECISD Executive Director of Career and Technical Education Ryan Merritt said this first event was geared toward giving high school students interested in medical careers, specifically becoming a medical doctor. The smaller event gave students an opportunity to make personal connections with medical providers. Quote, the powerful thing for me is that it gives students the opportunity to talk to the individuals that are professionals in the field. These are medical doctors that they're talking to. They're medical students. The takeaway is once they start connecting with individuals here, we want to provide the students with more opportunities in the future for job shadowing and maybe some internships and some other ways to engage in the career field, end quote, Merritt said. Students rotated through the stations set up every 8 minutes and heard a presentation covering the need for healthcare professionals across the state and West Texas, Merritt said. Quote, almost every county is in high need. They're having shortages of employees in the healthcare field, so the message that was sent here is that the students can go to high school here in Odessa and stay within West Texas all the way through medical school if they would like, end quote, Merritt said. Students could finish high school, go to Odessa College or UTPB, and Texas Tech for medical school, he added. Quote, I think the students are excited to be here, and I really appreciate all the work that Texas Tech did to put this event together, getting their staff members here and organizing the event. It's been really nice, end quote, Merritt said. Texas Tech Health Sciences Associate Professor Dr. Adrian Billings said this was part of a competitive 5-year federal grant from the Health Resources Service Administration that Texas Tech submitted in January. They were awarded the grant in July 2022. Quote, the whole idea behind this grant is to impact everybody from middle school students that are interested in healthcare all the way to faculty physicians. We're trying to grow our own physician workforce for the West Texas area and hopefully retain them on as faculty, either on campus and or in the rural communities, end quote, Billings said. Assistant Professor Dr. Martin Ortega, Regional Chair and Assistant Regional Dean for Medical Education, said the event is really important because of the great need for healthcare providers. Ortega said they are all very passionate about being even a small part of forming the next generation. Quote, events like this give us an opportunity to connect with students at the middle school and high school level, and again, let them know that we're here to support them having gone through that path ourselves and be open to partnership and mentorship, end quote, Ortega said. Billings said they want to enable students to learn about various programs from middle school all the way to residency, and give them the information and knowledge to allow them to be successful. He added that Texas Tech has the Family Medicine Accelerated Track that allows students to finish that field of medicine in 3 years. Quote, the whole idea, too, is that we want to retain them in the area from high school graduation to university. They can go anywhere, but if we can retain them at UTPB, Odessa College, Texas Tech, or Sul Ross, we keep them connected to West Texas. Then they can go to medical school in West Texas, and then they can do their residency program in West Texas, so we don't have a brain drain. We don't lose them to an outside area, end quote, Billings said. Research shows that if you train and recruit someone in their hometown area, the likelihood of them of keeping them for a long time, if not an entire career, is much more possible. Ortega, who is from Midland, did his training locally. He noted that you don't have to have someone in your family that is a medical doctor to become one yourself. Quote, we just want to point students to the fact that that's possible. Like Dr. Billings was saying, you can do all of his training and not leave home. We know that these students are potentially committing to being lifelong learners, and there are challenges to that. So having the support of family and friends not too far off, having the support of like-minded individuals who are practicing and living in our hometowns is incredibly important, end quote, Ortega said. Nisabella Carres, an 18-year-old George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa senior, said the event was really cool. She said she would like to go into biomedical engineering and make prosthetics. But if that doesn't work out, she's also taking an EMT course right now at Odessa College and would likely pursue that. Quote, it's a great way to be exposed to different fields in healthcare or health sciences, which I think is really great for students. That way you get to college and you're not wasting a whole bunch of money switching degrees, end quote, Carreas said. She added that the fair was a great way to introduce students to healthcare. Quote, you're always going to have a job regardless of where you go, end quote, Carreas said. UTPB art professor ready for Empty Bowls. Entering his 23rd year, one of Empty Bowls founders, Chris Stanley, says the event involved even more school children this year than ever before. The occasion is a fundraiser for the West Texas Food Bank. It is set for 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday at the Allison Fine Arts Center at Midland College, 3600 North Garfield Street, Midland. The cost is $15, and Stanley said that $15 can feed 65 people. Artist bowls also will be auctioned off. Joining in the ceramic bowl creation this year are students from the 18-plus Transition Learning Center, Bowie Middle School, Crockett Middle School, Odessa Midland Colleges, and University of Texas Permian Basin, said Stanley, who is also Associate Professor of Art at UTPB. Quote, yet again, when you think you've tapped out people who might be interested in this project, there's more participants that show up, and so it's always life-affirming to see the kind of commitment that our community has to the project, end quote, Stanley said. If everything goes to plan, Stanley said the event will be held at Odessa College next year and UTPB for the 25th anniversary. UTPB is where it started. Asked if it might be held at the Horseshoe for the 25th year, Stanley said they've been blessed by working with people who want to help them with venues. Quote, if it got to the point where we had that kind of capacity to have it at a place like that, I think it would be wonderful, end quote, Stanley said. For Stanley, it was never about how many people attend or how much money is raised. Quote, it's about the experience. It's about gathering people together, understanding that your community can lift itself up. When community members realize they can feed the poor by just having a bowl of soup, that's kind of a win-win for everyone. That's where the spirit is, end quote, Stanley said. He added that they are seeing the next generation of instructors, teachers, and former students coming on. Quote, what a sign of just absolute humility that your students would carry on your passion. That passion has become their passion too, end quote, Stanley said. He added that they have already started making bowls for 2024 and are up to 100 of the 300 bowl target. AI Master's Program launches at UT. Austin. Just as artificial intelligence and machine learning emerge as the fastest growing in-demand skill sets in the global workforce, the University of Texas at Austin is establishing a new online master's program in AI with the potential to bring thousands of new students into the field. Delivered by the Department of Computer Science and Machine Learning Laboratory, the Master of Science in Artificial Intelligence will be the first large-scale degree program of its kind, and the only master's degree program in AI from a top-ranked institution to be priced close to $10,000. The master's degree covers about 2 years' worth of course content to be taken at the learner's own pace and will be delivered in partnership with online education platform EDX. AI master's programs from peer institutions carry costs 5 to 10 times as high as UT Austin's and serve only dozens of students, not the hundreds or thousands the Texas team projects it will reach annually within 5 years. Similarly priced online master's programs from the university in computer science and data science enroll 2,500 students within less than 5 years of their launch. Like those programs, the fully online MSAI program is both flexible and accessible, a news release said. Enrolled students will receive advanced training in natural language processing, reinforcement learning, computer vision, deep learning, and related topics, and will provide a critical framework for understanding the ethical implications of AI technologies. The degree will equip students for an array of potential career opportunities, from engineering to research and development and product management to consulting. The degree program comes amid a national conversation about how advances in AI and machine learning might reshape the economy and the workforce. Conscious of the ethical questions inherent to these new technologies, MSAI incorporates formal AI ethics training developed through a partnership between IFML and faculty from the UT's Good Systems Project, a research initiative to develop new AI technologies around core values that serve the greater societal good. As the third large-scale master's degree offered as part of the university's Computer and Data Science Online suite of degree programs, the MSAI will rely on longstanding strengths and faculty expertise that have earned UT Austin a top 10 ranking in artificial intelligence from U.S. News & World Report. The degree is pending final approval by the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board. Leaders of the Computer and Data Science Online program will give a presentation at the South by Southwest Festival's SXSW EDU 2023 on the future of online graduate education at major research universities. More about the program, including how and when to apply for spring 2024, can be found at the UT MSAI website. Cookies and Canvas brings family fun to the City of Odessa Parks. The City of Odessa Parks and Recreation Department is hosting its inaugural Cookies and Canvas Night for those who want to learn how to paint, a press release detailed. Cookies and Canvas will be an instructor-led class that will teach guests how to paint a dog with a heart just in time for Valentine's Day. Cookies and refreshments will also be provided for guests as well. The event is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. January 31st at Sherwood Park, located at 4819 North Everglade Avenue. The cost is $40, which covers the cost of supplies, cookies, and refreshments. Classes available for ages 8 and above. For those who wish to attend, purchase your tickets here, tinyurl.com/2s39kmw9. Cookies and Canvas are the first of many great programs coming to Odessa, as the City of Odessa Parks and Recreation is gearing up for the spring season with new and exciting events lined up. This year, the department is excited to offer new events such as the Barbecue Masters and Cornhole Bracket Battle coming up on March 18th, the Shamrock 5K that will be on March 11th, plus many more. There will also be returning favorites such as Take Me Fishing at Comanche Trail Fishing Pond and the Mother and Son and Father and Daughter dances from last year. Quote, the City of Odessa Parks and Recreation Department is committed to offering the community new and exciting recreational programs, end quote. Ed Marino, Recreational Superintendent of the City of Odessa Parks and Recreation Department, stated in the press release. OPD reports finding 10 pounds of marijuana. An Odessa man was arrested Tuesday after police said they found 10 pounds of marijuana in his apartment, along with other drugs. According to an Odessa Police Department report, detectives in the Intelligence Division received a tip Jared Bookout was a drug dealer, and they obtained a search warrant for his apartment in the 4300 block of Esmond Drive. On Wednesday, they served the warrant and found 10 pounds of marijuana, 25 grams of psilocybin, a psychedelic mushroom, and a THC cartridge, the report stated. Bookout was arrested on suspicion of delivery of marijuana and 2 counts of manufacture/delivery of a controlled substance. One of the controlled substance counts is a first-degree felony punishable by 5 years to life in prison. The other charges are second-degree and state jail felonies. Bookout remains in the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $111,000. Idea Public Schools to conduct public hearing on annual TAPR report. IDEA Public Schools will conduct a public hearing and discussion of the 2021-22 TAPR at the regularly scheduled February 17th board meeting at 9:30 a.m. at 2115 West Pike Boulevard in West Laco. Members of the public may access the regular meeting by dialing +1-361271-1871. Meeting ID 264-900-209. TAPR addresses the educational performance of the district and each of the campuses in relation to the district, state, and a comparable group of schools. If you would like to attend, contact Jessica Hess at jessica.hess@ideapublicschools.org or 956-647-7456. As per Texas Education Agency regulations, each district's Board of Trustees must hold a public hearing to discuss the district's annual report within 90 days of receiving the TAPR. Four accused in car break-ins. Three boys and a Midland woman were arrested last weekend after police said they were caught on video surveillance trying to break into cars. According to an Odessa Police Department report, an Odessa man called 911 around 1:40 a.m. Sunday to report three or four kids wearing hoodies were checking vehicle doors. An officer found four people matching that description in the 5100 block of North Tom Green Avenue and detained them. The man who called 911 showed up at the scene and showed officers footage from his surveillance camera showing all four of the detainees trying to get into the man's cars, which were parked in front of his house, the report stated. The officers searched the four and found property that had been stolen out of a vehicle in the 4900 block of McKnight Drive, the report stated. Ashley Elizabeth Ruiz, 20, who originally provided officers a fake name, was arrested on four warrants out of Midland and on suspicion of two counts of engaging in organized criminal activity and one count of failure to identify. Two of the boys, ages 12 and 16, were referred to juvenile probation on the organized crime charges. A 13-year-old is also facing those charges, plus a dangerous drug possession charge. Ruiz remains in the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $6,500. She is also being held on Midland warrants connected to two drug cases, a theft case and an assault case. First Lady Abbott relaunches human trafficking awareness campaign. Austin. First Lady Cecilia Abbott announced on Thursday she was going to relaunch the statewide Can You See Me? Human Trafficking Awareness Campaign at the Governor's Mansion in Austin. The multimedia campaign seeks to highlight the realities of human trafficking through a series of billboards displayed in public spaces and transportation hubs across more than 70 Texas cities throughout this year. The First Lady was joined at the relaunch by Secretary of State Jane Nelson, Senator Joan Huffman, Texas Department of Public Safety Director Stephen McCraw, Outdoor Advertising Association President Lee Vela, A21 Chief Advancement Officer Bill Clark, and other state and local anti-human trafficking leaders. Quote, Texas is a national leader in the fight against human trafficking, and the relaunch of this successful campaign will help us continue to raise awareness and call people to action against this heinous crime, end quote, Abbott stated in the press release. Quote, I am grateful for the continued collaboration with A21 and the Outdoor Advertising Association of Texas as we work together to put an end to human trafficking, end quote. Quote, although January is known as Human Trafficking Awareness Month, we need to be spreading awareness all year round, end quote, Nelson stated in the press release. Quote, this issue is sadly so pervasive that we need constant vigilance, enhanced awareness, and comprehensive education to help all Texans identify human trafficking and eradicate it wherever we see it. If you're listening to us today, you can be the one to change a life or save a life from the slavery that is human trafficking. You just have to know what to look for, end quote. Quote, in the base budget that I filed, the Texas Senate is committing $57.5 million to prevent and combat human trafficking, end quote, Huffman stated in the press release. Quote, providing financial resources across the state is critical to ending this form of modern-day slavery. But resources alone won't help us win the fight. We must continue to raise awareness, and the Can You See Me campaign will do just that. It is the tips and the reports that come into the hotlines and to law enforcement across the state that are the key to saving lives and putting a stop to human traffickers, end quote, McGraw stated in the press release. Quote, this campaign helps empower people to speak up and take action to make Texas a safer place for all of us, end quote. quote, the Outdoor Advertising Association of Texas is committed to helping eradicate human trafficking in Texas, end quote, Vela stated in the press release. Quote, these donated billboard messages will be broadcast the hotline number, which is a way for victims to get help so they can become survivors. The messages will be seen on hundreds of digital and traditional billboards in more than 70 Texas cities for the entire year, end quote. Quote, Texas continues to be a leader in the fight against human trafficking, end quote, Clark stated in the press release. Quote, through our local work with survivors, we know that awareness is a vital part of ending human trafficking. We are grateful to our partners, First Lady Cecilia Abbott and the Outdoor Advertising Association of Texas, and know that their generosity and support for the Can You See Me campaign will impact millions, end quote. Created by A21 and OAAT, the Can You See Me campaign will help raise awareness among Texas commuters to the indicators of human trafficking through a series of scenarios depicting the most common forms of modern-day slavery, with dedicated hotline numbers to report suspicious behavior. More than 300 billboards across the state will carry the message either on traditional billboards or digital units and urge members of the public who suspect human trafficking activity to call the Polaris National Human Trafficking Hotline and National Center of Missing and Exploited Children. The 2019 through 2022 Can You See Me campaign resulted in a more than 30% increase in calls across Texas to the National Trafficking Hotline and earned the Human Trafficking Impact of the Year in Transportation Award in 2020 from the U.S. Department of Transportation. Anyone who suspects human trafficking activity is urged to call the Polaris National Human Trafficking Hotline at 1-888-373-7888. Or the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 1-800-THE-LOST. Getting their groove back. Dance partners return after 7-year hiatus to compete at Dancing with the West Texas Stars. Carol Williams and Kendall Gray both started dancing together in the 5th grade. After graduating from Permian in 2016, they took a break but will soon return to the stage, performing at the Dancing with the West Texas Stars next week. The event, which is a fundraiser for the Crisis Center of West Texas, will take place at 7:30 p.m. February 4th at the Ector Theater. Gray and Williams are longtime best friends. They've been dance partners since 2008 and are now living and working in the Permian Basin. Williams currently received her CPA over the summer, and Gray works as a Grow Our Action coordinator at the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin. Both are excited for the opportunity to get to show off their dance moves at next week's competition. Quote, I'm very excited and grateful for the opportunity to dance again on a stage, end quote, William said. Quote, I'm very excited that it's for a great cause such as the Crisis Center, end quote. Dancing with the West Texas Stars is an evening of performances by 10 local stars, partnered with talented professional dancers from the community. The fundraiser helps the center's mission of ending domestic and sexual violence in West Texas. Both dancers started dancing at Tammy Locklear's dance studio in 2008. They both attended Nimitz Junior High and went on to be varsity members of the Permian Panther Paws in high school. After graduating from Permian, they went their separate ways. Williams went to the University of Texas at Austin, and Gray went to Texas Tech University. However, they stayed in touch with each other throughout the years. Quote, we always keep each other in check, end quote, Gray said while laughing. Quote, but we spent so much time with each other in elementary, middle school, and high school. Then we get to dance with each other and there's a chemistry between us. Now that we're grown up, we get to spend so much time together and getting to dance together again. We've spent more time together recently than in the last couple of years. End quote. This year is the 8th edition of Dancing with the West Texas Stars, but it'll be the first time Gray and Williams will be taking part in the competition. It was around October when the two were asked if they wanted to take part in this year's Dancing with the West Texas Stars. Their response was a no-brainer. Quote, it was a chance for us to get back on stage, dancing together and raise awareness, end quote, Gray said. Quote, we were like, heck yeah, we got to do this. We're excited because we get to dance together again, end quote. Both say they have a, quote, yin and yang energy, end quote, that they feed off each other. Quote, we have different strong suits, and that's what makes us better, end quote, William said. Quote, there's always been a healthy competition. We're constantly keeping each other on our toes at our highest level. It's all love, but we also have that competition aspect, end quote. However, after going 7 years without dancing, both Williams and Gray talked about how rusty they were. Both returned to taking adult dance classes at Tammy Locklear's dance studio. Quote, our first dance class that we came back to here, we were doing the things that we thought were the simplest things, and I couldn't do them, end quote, Gray said. Quote, I was so sore the next day. But after a couple of months of doing this again, we've already improved and found our groove again, end quote. They've been practicing about twice a week since October to get ready. Quote, dancing is like riding a bicycle, end quote, Williams said. Quote, the fundamentals are still in our bodies, it just hasn't been exercised for a while, but the chemistry is still there, end quote. Gray said they've had to remind themselves that they're not in the same shape they once were. Quote, we can't do some of the hard things, but we're challenging ourselves to make it a fun dance that's appealing to the crowd because we want to win, end quote, Gray said. Quote, that's been the most challenging, but we're getting there and we're surprising ourselves, end quote. Their dance routine will take the audience members back in time to the 1970s with some of the greatest hits from that decade, including plenty of funk rock. Quote, it's a 70s mix, end quote, William said. Quote, it's kind of a love letter to the 70s, if you would say so. It includes the greatest hits from that decade. We're bringing back the classic 70s dance moves. The dance is so much fun. The moves we're doing, everyone will recognize them. It's a very crowd-pleasing dance, end quote. While they enjoy dancing together, there is some extra pressure with this competition being their first since 2016. Quote, we started prepping earlier than other people because we felt there was this added pressure that we both danced in high school and neither of us are true professionals, end quote, Gray said. Quote, we're both working women and we don't dance like we had in the past. So we had to get out there and got to make ourselves look good. Because the last time everyone saw us dancing, we were good. People are also paying good money to see us dance, end quote. But they both can't wait to showcase their talents for a good cause. Quote, we're really excited to be a part of this event, end quote, Gray said. Quote, we can't wait to get on stage, but it's for a bigger cause. Luckily, we haven't been in a situation where we've had to use the Crisis Center's resources. But so many people do, and that's why we're doing this. We're doing this to help raise funds for them so that the Crisis Center can continue to do what they do, end quote. For tickets and more information about Dancing with the West Texas Stars, go to tinyurl.com/DV45ZEC7.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.